Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA. What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
I started to pour a little early there. Only because we're on a tight schedule today.
Yes, we are. Yes, we
are. What would today be? Oh, a day of vacation for Dennis. Supposedly.
And then, we're here in our household in the Yarbrough residence. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Oh, so I gotcha. Yeah.
You know, all the prep work. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so our listeners know, we're going to be doing two episodes this week. We're taping this one on Tuesday. We're going to tape one tomorrow morning on Wednesday. That'll be our pre-Thanksgiving show.
There we go.
Where we'll talk all about Thanksgiving and, of course, what people do right after Thanksgiving, which is normally pass out, but the shopping part maybe too.
I was going to say, yeah, I thought we were getting ready for, it's going to be all online, but still.
That's true. Although supposedly there are some malls across the U.S. In states maybe less affected, where the malls are actually seeing an uptick in traffic again.
Oh, okay.
I was just reading the article. I think it was Wall Street Journal about that, how some malls are seeing people come back. I think they just want to get out of the house.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that. That'll be on tomorrow's. But, Dana, this being our first show of the week, we normally talk about how our wonderful weekends went.
Oh, man.
And so,
I was going to say, you mentioned getting out the house. So, I was able to get out the house just for a little bit. Went to the park on Saturday, hung out for a little bit. Of course, practicing social distancing with my friends.
That's good.
Yes, And then Miss Victoria, that's what I call my mom, everybody listening, instead of mom sometimes. So her birthday was actually yesterday.
Okay, wow.
But she wanted to celebrate on Sunday, so that's what we did. We celebrated her birthday.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. 62 years old, Dennis.
Wow. Your mom is so much younger than my mom, but, that's why we still got to get the two of them to, hook up and have some fun.
Oh, they will definitely. There will be some shenanigans. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. I can just see it now. Mm-hmm. It'd almost have to be turned into a, what would you call it? A dramedy type of show on a network of two old lady detective service or something.
I would watch that.
I think that'd be interesting, right?
Yes, that would be.
Oh, man. Just like Murder, She Wrote, but, a partner show.
Okay. Wasn't there supposed to be a remake coming out of Murder, She Wrote?
I could have sworn so. I think you're right.
But maybe it never came to fruition or.
Maybe not. And I don't know if it was going to be like a reboot.
I think it was.
Right, with somebody new?
Yeah, with Octavia Spencer, I believe.
Oh, now that would have been cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I guess that maybe just kind of, so many TV shows and things kind of died on the vine, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. It's too bad.
You know, the industry's just getting back into the swing of things. I was talking to a friend in passing who is a costumer.
Okay.
In Hollywood, and he just got back onto one of those Apple TV shows. I won't go with any names or whatever. And they just started retaping. Talk about an industry that's doing everything they can to make sure they can survive and get through this. I mean, the safety protocols are everything you'd expect them to be. It's everything about, every other day testing. And then also when you're like in his case, when he's working with the extras, because this show has a lot of extras, how they keep them separated, how they get their wardrobe, if he has to work with primary cast, then he's got to do like an instant test that day, like before he will work with those primary cast members.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just it's very interesting, but you know the safety protocols on studio sites or when they're off site. But it's just good to hear, you know, because that was a hard hit for that industry. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
He was done about the same time we left campus, you know, back in March. Okay. And so very few things picked up since then in any reasonable size.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the shows that he was on had talked about maybe not even filming next series because he was on that and another series on one of those like Netflix, Hulu type of things going back and forth because their timing schedules. But yeah, it's good to hear that they're kind of back, even with current situations, you know, going on in the world out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think things are going to get a little bit more tougher with the surges. I was just reading the other day that in lieu of the curfew that's going on here in LA County, there will be no more outdoor dining. Had you heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know that's not going to help at all.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, some tough times ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope we get all through this in the holidays and come out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So going with the news idea, I think we have some news articles we can run through today for our wonderful listeners here. I'll start one off. How's that?
Okay. Sounds
so, Dana, as I was perusing our NASFA website, not our CSFA website, but those other people at NASFA, our top competition in the podcast world, I found a short article in their daily news section about a paper one of their policy analysts, Jill DeJean, wrote for WCET about financial aid. It's titled Financial Aid Basics, but it was more like the basics for financial aid professional. It looks a lot like a companion piece for the training our state chancellor's office concluded just last week for new financial aid directors in the California community colleges. The article delves into the application process, compliance matters, program reviews, distance education, financial aid at foreign schools, not an issue for us really, but and the challenges, you know, we all face with our students continuing to study remotely. The report is, you know, good reading. So we'll include a link to it in our show notes.
So, Dennis, remember how me and some of the other staff in the office were telling you and Marisol, our assistant director, about emails coming from students that all sounded the same?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so like these emails, they all mentioned something about CARES grants and how they wanted us to review their financial aid. Their financial situations for possibly recalculation of aid eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, Dennis, the jig is up. So I read an article also in the NASFA News that the Federal Trade Commission has sent a letter warning Frank, this company, a startup, aimed at helping students apply for financial aid. That is potentially misleading students about the company's ability to help students access emergency grants made available under the CARES Act. The FTC pointed to several potentially misleading claims made by the company, including its message to students offering cash advances with no interest or fees. However, fine print on the agreement doesn't seem to match this exactly. The FTC has received a response from the company, but the company was required to provide a full response to all issues in the letter by November 17th. We'll follow up on this as things progress. For more information, we'll include a link to the NASFA article, which includes a direct link to it to the FTC letter. Excuse me.
Yeah, this was kind of interesting. I know one of our counterparts at another college in our district just emailed the directors with this same link because, you know, again, it points to the fact that, you know, and again, I'm not saying they're taking advantage of students because I wouldn't use those words exactly in a court of law. But I mean, it's one of those areas where, you know, during any other given time of the year, students just usually find financial aid offices, and more financial aid offices than ever have done, you know, proactive approaches to getting students who have changes in income or emergency needs, getting the word out to them of how they work with the financial aid office. Mm-hmm. But somewhere along the line, a company like this or other companies have stepped up and offer paid services to do things like the FAFSA, which, again, has always been free. That's why we call it the free application for federal student aid. They put it right at the front, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, these reviews of income and the emergency grant stuff. I mean, you know, it's to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but, you know, warning to some to avoid the misleading information. So hopefully, hopefully we do not see too many students having to pay for a service that they can get just by finding Dana at the front counter, our virtual front counter.
I am right here.
That's right. When she's not on the show. Well, I was also reading an article out on Inside Higher Ed about how there are a number of groups, most of them as labeled in the article and not by me, as progressive groups, are looking to ask President-elect Joe Biden to cancel student loan debt. You know, I know this is kind of a touchy subject overall, but I think it's one of those subjects that's going to continue to get recycled more and more in the headlines, and people are looking for relief from student loan debt that weighs even more heavily now than before, especially with COVID around us, and students, you know, stopping out of college, and students with high levels of debt and the lost promise of better days once they receive their college degrees. You know, that promise is not quite always there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dan, I was wondering, do you have any thoughts on this? You know, I do, but I think we can start a healthy conversation that can continue into maybe some future shows, and we get some people on to interview about this because it is a big topic.
And I think that's a really great idea, Dennis. But yeah, I do. Actually, I do have some thoughts on on this. It's because I have
a slight
substantial loan debt, and it's my fault. After I finished grad school, unfortunately, and this is after even working in financial aid after several years, the interest ballooned, and so I owe I'm not gonna say it because I'm ashamed.
That's okay. A mortgage on a small house in Mississippi. Yes.
I could have bought you a house and myself a house and my mother a house by now. Okay.
I got you.
So, I am all for any type of reform, any type of overview.
Yeah.
Anything that can help, not just my situation, but a lot of individuals in the same situation that I am in.
I hear you.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's just one of those things where sometimes it just becomes so overwhelming and so intimidating that you feel stuck sometimes, you know, financially is what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
So any type of relief and assistance is always welcome, Dennis.
Yeah, and I've seen some different takes on this and some other articles that I don't think we even have in our news this morning, but you know, I read one article, and it's from a woman. I think her name is Beth Akers. She wrote at least one or two of the books in the back here of me on the Zoom that Dana will see about student loan debt. And her suggestion is to focus on students with less than $5,000. And I know that doesn't sound like the approach most people are thinking, because probably the people with, let's say, $100,000 or more are all like, please cancel my debt. Mm-hmm. But she's doing it in a strategic way, because what we find is students with less than $5,000 on average tend to be the students who have stopped out and never got their degree. So they end up being the most vulnerable because they have student loans that they took out, certainly with the intention of completing, at which time, if they had their degree, they probably would be leading better jobs, etc. I mean, that's why a lot of students go to college. It's not always, but it's really why a lot of students go to colleges, you know, to enter better degrees and all. Versus looking at the students on the high end of numbers, because those are, again, those are still a small, like 1% of all borrowers have more than like $100,000 kind of world. And it generally is those are students who probably have completed and probably completed graduate studies, law, medical, you name it, all those professional degrees and such. And also, loan borrowing is done by people of higher incomes. So we'd be canceling loans out for people who have the wherewithal to pay back, but just happen to have a lot of loans. You know, like people that go into law or medicine.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I it's an interesting thing. I think we certainly should consider, you know, bringing this topic back to us at another time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe having someone like Miss Akers or someone else come on the show and talk a little bit about student loans and her ideas, because this might fall in line closer with community colleges across the state, where we don't have a lot of students who come to us with $50,000, let alone leave with $50,000 of loans or more. But we certainly have students who borrow.
Yes.
And then just don't complete. And how do we, those are the most vulnerable, I think, too, out there as far as student loans go. But Dana, it's that point of the show. Let's roll a little music and we'll come right back to the news here.
And welcome to our second cup on the What's Brewing Cease for Show.
Time for the refill, everybody.
Yes, let's get it going.
Dana, I forgot to even ask, what are you drinking this morning here?
Man, Dennis, I messed up this morning. So I got up early to brew some tea that I got from Chato. And the name of the tea is called Buddha's Cup, right?
Okay.
So I get up this morning, brew this tea, get ready for tape this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it too bitter. I take a sip and it's too bitter.
Oh, Dana.
Messed up. Oh, man. Next time.
That's right. Some lemon and sugar nearby.
Oh, man. You know,
I've got my lemony tea that comes out of little plastic bottles.
Okay. Just pre-made.
Yes, exactly. Ready. Get me through the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice and refreshing.
That's right. Well, let's get back into the news then so that we can get off your poor bitter tea choices here.
I know. Next time I'll do better. All right, Dennis. So, well, if student loan debt isn't bad enough, there was a nice long article at CalMatters about how college enrollment is down at most, if not all, California community colleges this fall. The expected reasons are mentioned up front in the article, including how students are dealing with the loss of jobs and how this financial impact hurts their ability to continue their studies. And this is big for students at our community colleges. Mm-hmm. The shift to online learning has not been an easy one. The article looks at a number of personal stories of struggles by students and surveys a number of colleges up and down the state. Now, not everything is as dire as it sounds, and some are stepping up to the plate to help. A $100 million donation was made to the California Community Colleges last month by the J. Pritzer Foundation. In the first year, up to $150,000 will be given to each of 34 community colleges in the Central Valley, Inland Empire, and rural Northern California, which are regions with the lowest percentages of adults with college degrees. The colleges are to spend the funds on emergency aid for students with a plan to fund larger scholarships in the future. Want to learn more about all of this? Check out the article at calmatters.org. We'll include a direct link to the article in our show notes.
Yeah, I think we had talked about the $100 million on a prior show, but you know, this is to talk about, you know, the fact that we are still in an interesting period of time with lower enrollment, when I think initial thoughts from so many people out there in the community was that community college enrollments will just shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people will be coming back to retraining. They're out of work. Students who might have gone off to a four-year school, possibly out of state from wherever they were, might stay home. And it doesn't seem like that's all come to fruition.
Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with access, maybe not having, proper access.
I think that's it too.
Yeah, technology and resources. And even, Dennis, I think sometimes it's, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but it's just a depressing situation, you know, where there's a lot of discouragement going on, you know.
So yes.
I'm thinking that could probably be part of it too. And, you know, and I get that from listening to students and assisting them, you know, at the counter or even, you know, just talking to them in general.
Yeah, I do too. And I, you know, I obviously hadn't, I review most of the SAP petitions, but I haven't had to review one yet for what's happening in fall. But between reviewing those that might have happened in spring, where they didn't get our illustrious EW grade, as they call it across the state, an excused withdrawal, and actually failed a class or got a grade in it. Still, obviously, there was effects on their academics, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a time that hopefully, you know, we it's not all bad news. In fact, here's some good and bad news, Dana.
Okay.
So it's not always, I can't give you full good news, but I'll give you a half and half. How's that?
I appreciate that. Okay. Yes.
Well, there's an article on the Washington Post website, Washington Post newspaper out of DC, noted that the lowest paid workers in higher education are suffering the highest job losses this fall. As you could expect in past years, employment grows at most colleges and universities every fall as we start up a new academic year. For example, in the article, it states that in 2019, colleges added about 180,000 new employees in that fall time. But, and Dana, take a guess at how many were added this year.
100,000.
Ah, much less. Only 20,000 jobs. So that means a lot less. And as noted in the article, it has tended to be in the office and administrative support staff ranks have taken the hardest hits. And this includes high numbers of part-time workers and those jobs held by the younger workers, you know, 18 to 25. So, Dana, you should be so happy to know that I am paying you so very well and that you, you know, with our college, at least for hiring, it's only allowed like leap years with two blue moons and an El Nino. So,
yep, absolutely.
You know, it's always been a problem hiring people, but we pay you guys so very, very well. But for everyone else out there, at least, you know, stay strong and know better times are around the corner. We'll include a link to this Washington Post story in our notes just so you can read about what's going on.
All right, Dennis. So following through with that, I know we've talked about how tight your budget is this year for travel and conferences and such. But I just saw an article on the NASPA website that they are taking proposals for breakout sessions at their 2021 annual conference. So the conference will be held in National Harbor, Maryland, the last week of June. But what I was thinking is if you, dear kind boss, let me submit a session topic to present, could I go to the NASPA conference?
Maybe. Boy, that's an interesting. And Dana, what would you want to present on?
Oh, man. It would have to do like something with technology.
Okay.
Yes. And how we can incorporate it in teaching or learning environments.
Okay.
So like maybe like we want to start teaching about financial literacy.
Oh, okay.
So how we can incorporate technology in teaching financial literacy to our students.
I like that. And maybe then we could also we could take What's Brewing CISFA on the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out to Maryland. You know, as long as there's good good internet out there, I can pack up all the equipment.
Let's go. Take the show on the road. Yeah,
I like that. Well,
Because
by then we will be near episode number 100.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Think about
that,
huh? I'll have to check the calendar to see how we work that out.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
So boss, so keep in mind that the deadline to submit session proposals is Wednesday, November 9th. Okay. So for more information, we'll put a link to the NASPA site and where you can submit proposals in our show notes.
Okay. So everyone, Wednesday, December 9th, you got your marching orders there to go and get a session proposal in. Well, Dana, we're at that next point in our show here. And again, throw some music at some people and move ourselves into our last segment. And just like that, and magically, we are back for our last sip segment. So get the last sip of your tea or coffee or morning michelada, whatever you're having. You know, I don't judge.
You and your micheladas,
I tell you, man. That was something
I know
else.
What to get you for Christmas. I know what to get you now.
Yeah, I know, right?
Pre-mixed micheladas.
Yeah, I don't want to take all the time and stuff. So, Dana, in our last sip segment today, do you have any I Dare You To options out here, selections?
I sure do, and it's for all you Coen Brother fans. Mm. So I've been watching the new season of Fargo, so definitely check that out with Chris Rock and Jason Schwartzman. It's so good, guys. You got to watch it.
It sounds interesting. I just haven't had the time to vote to that yet.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, boss, I'm surprised you haven't watched it yet because you're into, like, true crime and
I am.
And all I that. Am. So I think you would really enjoy it.
I've yet to come off this high of putting all my time and effort into work.
He's so dedicated.
I mean, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not even the CISFA stuff. You know, I do CISFA out of love for the association because I want to connect with others. I want others to connect. I want us all to be a better organization. And I guess my TV watching, I told you, you know, I paid for one of those services. Let's call them like Netflix, Hulu kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're just stealing my money at this point.
Because you're so focused and dedicated on work, you neglected.
Exactly. So services. I'm giving myself like the one, and either the end of this month or end of December, I might just do it at the end of the year. Okay. And if I don't get at least a few more hours in on this service.
No, let them go. Don't cut them loose.
Let it go. I got to let it go.
Oh, boy. You know, you could just transfer it to me.
I could. But that would be unfair to all the other employees.
You know, this is between you and I.
You know, I don't know. It's also encouraging you to have too much digital in your life. And that brings me about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're trying to, you know. You're right. We're trying to be more conservative.
Trying to be in the real world. Yeah. You know, I'm reading a book right now called Reader Come Home or something like that. But there is another book. My I Dare You To selection is a book I bought, and I'm just getting around to reading now. Called The Revenge of Analog, Real Things and Why They Matter by David Sacks. And so I bought it because of purely on title alone. And it's basically about, you know, the little inside blurb starts with, a funny thing happened on the way to the digital utopia. We've begun to fall back in love with the very analog goods and ideas the tech gurus insisted we no longer needed. I think that line kind of summarizes it as far as the start of this book. You know, I mean, think about it in terms of, you know, and it's not just music. But music's probably the easiest one to point to, right? We went from good old vinyl. Mm-hmm. I think our audience knows about that. And I know that we have some people out there that are vinyl lovers. We had CDs, and then we went to downloads. And that seemed to be killing off everything. And then suddenly vinyl had a uptick.
Yeah, come
and it's
back.
Had real upticks.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, so yeah, just that's my pick is this analog book so people remember the goods of real actual goods. It doesn't have to be a digital good, everyone. You know, think of it that way. But Dana, I think we're at that point in the show again where we're right at the end. But don't worry, everyone. We have another episode coming to you this week. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
And for this and all WBC, or What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed on Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and on the Apple Podcast app. Search for CISFA. And you can find us on Spotify now. Don't forget that. You can also find all episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean as one word.
If you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of me and the incredible Dana Yarbrough.
This has been episode number 40, recorded the morning of Tuesday, November 24th, 2020.
Have a great day, everyone.
And have a great week.